Hello and welcome to another episode of Biting Into Healthcare with me, Dr. Miguel Stanley. So today I wanted to talk about a concept that I developed many years ago, probably say about 12 or 13 years ago, called No Half Smiles. And I wanted to get a little bit into that today and talk about how important it is to take no prisoners when you're doing a treatment plan and how that would translate into healthcare and what that would look like when you go for a general checkup at the hospital, for example. And I want to talk a little bit about how the way that I've been practicing dentistry with my team here at the White Clinic and the processes that we've developed in diagnostics, in treatment planning, and how that would look in mainstream, let's say, systemic healthcare. So to get into this, let's break down a little bit what a trip to the dentist looks like for, you know, most of the world population. And I think it's important that you understand, for those of you that are not dentists listening, that, you know, I believe that dentistry has just, it's got a bad rap. It's got a bad reputation in terms of the impact it can truly have in systemic health. And that I think a lot of practices and a lot of dentists over the last decades have kind of lost their way in understanding how important dentistry is in overall health. And this is a trending topic. It's a hot topic. There's a lot of talks about this in the US and around the world of reintegrating dentistry in mainstream healthcare. I want to talk about that topic on another podcast about putting the mouth back in the body. But let's just say, for argument's sake, that if you have a healthy mouth, and by healthy I mean no infections in the bone, healthy gums, all your teeth in the mouth and in perfect function, meaning that the top ones are working well against the bottom ones and they're balanced and there's no infection in the gums and everything's good. Let's just say if you have that, your brain actually is more at rest. You breathe better at night. You oxygen, you have more oxygenation in your brain. Your aesthetics will be more appealing. Forget the color of your teeth or if they're a bit crooked or whatever. I'm talking if you have a good set of teeth that are functional and healthy gums. I'm not talking about that Hollywood smile. I'm just saying usually that's a more appealing smile than if it's an unhealthy smile and you're missing teeth, so on and so forth. So if the baseline, the benchmark, is a young adult with all of their teeth in the mouth, no spaces. I'm not talking about perfect alignment, but that the top teeth bite with the bottom teeth properly, that you can take all the nutrients out of seeds and the food that you're eating, and that when you rest at night and you're lying down and your jaw is at a proper position and you're breathing, you're oxygenating your brain properly, and during the daytime your posture, your balance is all there, and more importantly there's no bacteria in the gums. Recent studies show that people with gum inflammation, or and these studies go back 30 years, if you have gum or periodontal issues, your immune system is decreased. You can have cardiovascular issues. Your blood tension can rise. I mean, and the health, the impacts on your health from having bacteria in your gums is huge. And I want to take that a step further. If you have bad dentistry in your mouth and infections in the bone from bad root canals or a bad extraction or toxic materials, like sometimes you even have leftover mercury from old fillings in the bone and all of that toxic dentistry. I published an article on the Dental Tribune last year on toxic dentistry, a term that I've been using quite a lot. If you have all of that stuff, you're obviously not healthy, right? So the benchmark is super health, super function, and let's get into it and what No Half Smiles is all about. So it's a really big discussion, but usually when a person goes to the dentist in most of the first world, or and I'd say anywhere in the world, They go there to solve a problem. All right. So they'll have a toothache. They'll have a chipped tooth. And depending what country you're in, because it does change, it's very demographic. So if you are in the wealthier segment of the world, you'll probably go just for a checkup and a cleaning. And if you're in a poorer, you know, emerging country, a developing country with the lack of basic healthcare, running water and all of that, you probably won't even have access to a dentist. So obviously, this conversation is very difficult to have, to be fair for all listeners. So let's focus on, let's say, industrialized countries that have, you know, access to dentists. So the business of dentistry, and I say the business of dentistry, has evolved into something where dentists have kind of become like hairdressers. And of course, there's absolutely no comparison. And I use that analogy because you go to a hairdresser and you tell your hairdresser, hey, today I'd like this and I'd like that. And the guy's like, sure, would you like it like this? Would you like it like that? And then they come to an agreement. The hairdresser does his job, there's a transaction of currency, and the person goes home feeling great. Difference is that the hair can grow back if something goes wrong. And in dentistry, this is happening a lot, where the patient comes to the dentist and says, I'd like you to do this, I'd like you to do that. And what happens is that the dentist it feels obliged to help the patient because, you know, of course I'm going to help you fix that tooth and to fix that problem because they can do it. They're licensed and trained to do it. They have the resources to do it. But the big question is that dentistry? Is that the right way? Is that healthcare? So maybe it's dentistry, but it's not healthcare dentistry. So what would that dentist do if that said patient comes to the clinic and has 10 cavities, has an infected tooth, but only wants to treat the tooth at the front because it's in the aesthetic zone and he just comes in a smile zone and just comes to the dentist because, let's say, he's got a wedding coming up or a fashion shoot or something like that. And he sits in the doctor and says, look, doctor, I know I've got a lot of problems, but I want you to just fix my front tooth today. And, you know, maybe later we can do the back ones. Now, of course, we as humans implicitly trust people and we're like, sure, I can help you. And let's say you go ahead and you fix that front tooth and you do a great job of it and you get paid for that and you go home feeling great. But given the fact that there are on average, you know, anywhere between 28 to 32 teeth in the human mouth, have you really helped that patient? Were you really doing them a service? Were you in the healthcare industry or were you just in the beauty or the mechanical industry? And I think that that's the very important question and probably the seminal question and the foundation of my No Half Smiles treatment philosophy. And I've lectured in over 50 countries. I've given over 200 keynote lectures on this topic. And it's something I'm quite passionate about. And one of the major results of the No Half Smiles treatment philosophy is just say no. So what is the No Half Smiles treatment philosophy? Basically, it's never, ever do what your patient wants. Always do what your patient needs. Hopefully, what your patient wants is what the patient needs. Meaning they have educated themselves, they have instructed themselves, they've listened to you, you've explained the reasons of the problem, and that's the foundation of a diagnostic and a proper informed consent and a proper explanation to the patient. They say, you know what, I've understood, yes, please treat everything. That's when you're in the healthcare business. That's when you want to fix the entirety of a problem. I'll give you an analogy. Imagine going to a eye doctor, and I'm not an eye specialist, and I don't pretend to know anything about eyeballs. But imagine you've got a problem that requires laser surgery on both eyes at the same time if you want to have your vision restored, and because you're on a budget. And we'll talk about the reason why I think money is behind this whole thing, is, you know, the patient saying to the eye specialist, well, doctor, listen, could you just do 20% of my left eye today? Next month when I get paid, you do the other 20%. And then after the summer, we'll start on the left eye. The eye surgeon would say, get out of here. You're nuts. We're not even going to begin. I mean, so that happens in the ophthalmology. Let's go to a heart surgeon. Says to the patient, listen, Mr. So-and-so, you need a triple bypass and it's going to cost $50,000. And the guy's like, well, maybe could we just do a single bypass now because my family budget is... That doesn't happen. You know, or if a patient breaks his arm and leg at the same time in an accident and the orthopedic surgeon, well, we're going to have to put a cast on both of these. And he's like, well, look, you know, could you just do the arm first and we'll do the leg later? So if that's not allowed in hospitals and in the medical profession, why are we allowing that in dentistry? Let that sink in. I mean, this is exactly what's happening every day. And I see this because I've been a dentist for 22 years. I have patients come into my clinic and they've got, like, you know, crowns on their front teeth. They've got an implant in the aesthetic zone in their front teeth. And they've got infections in the back of their mouth. And you're like, well, they've been, you know, oh, I've been going to the same dentist for 10 years now or 20 years, sometimes 40 years. And you just see this whole array of not just dental issues, but health problems, infections in the gums, infections in the bone. And you're wondering, well, what have these dentists been doing? And I'm not here to criticize. I want to help inspire dentists and the non-dental people listening to this podcast to just think a little bit more about what it means to go to a dentist and what it means to be a dentist in the first place. So, you know, going back to the Hippocratic Oath of let's do no harm, do no harm. You know, that's the number one. So is just treating what the patient wants when they have more problems in their mouth, is that healthcare? Is that doing no harm? And I think it actually is doing harm because you are taking money to do something that is not healthcare. It's a Band-Aid. It's like taking an aspirin if you've got a brain tumor. It's not, well, you know, it's just, I don't know if that's a good analogy, but it's just, it doesn't help. So of course, the underlining question here is, well, I can't afford to treat everything in my mouth. Yeah, I can understand that from the patient's perspective. I just can't understand why the doctor would accept that. Because an eye surgeon wouldn't accept it. The cardiologist wouldn't accept it. The orthopedic surgeon wouldn't accept it. But dentists accept it. So that compartmentalization, oh, I have 28 to 32 teeth, so we'll treat one tooth at a time so I can make revenue. That's not dentistry. Your job, you're a physician of the oral cavity. You have a moral and ethical duty to fix and repair that patient as a healer, not just to do what they ask you to do. You're not a hairdresser. You're not a... You know, you're not exchanging service for money. I mean, there's many names for those things, but that's not what doctors and dentists should do. So, sorry, that's probably why dentists have such a bad reputation. And if you go to Hollywood, most dentists in movies are these stressed out guys in outdated practices, always nervous. You know, just go back in history. I mean, most movies, the dentist is portrayed as a really stressful guy. And again, that's going to be another topic on my podcast coming, why dentists are so stressed. And I'll talk a little bit about that with the foundations of slow dentistry, another concept I created a while back, and why dentists should slow down and see fewer patients and deliver better quality care. And that's probably one of the foundations of happiness in our profession. But I don't want to get into that today, and that will be another podcast. And please write me on my Instagram at Dr. Miguel Stanley, or feel free to follow miguelstanley.com. Get in touch with me and let me know what you want me to talk about in the next podcast. And I really want to thank everybody for the incredible feedback I've been getting on these podcasts. So giving me the strength to sit down and do them. And moreover, already like 40 countries or 50 countries have downloaded the podcast. So I'm actually very, very grateful to that. And I apologize for not being consistent in the broadcast of them. But I am quite a busy doctor and running my clinic here. So please bear with me. I'll try and bust them out as I can. And hopefully I've got some good guests lined up later this year. And again, the reason why I don't do film is because I find just audio is easier to accomplish. When you start getting film involved, it becomes a bit messy and a bit difficult to organize and harder to edit. So these are real feelings at the right time, and they're a lot easier to record. So again, thank you so much for tuning in. Now let's get back to the premise, and I hope you've had some time to digest the question that I started out with. So, how do you solve this problem? Well, it's very easy. A dentist has to learn how to say no. No, I'm not responsible for the fact you didn't brush your teeth for 20 years, that you eat sugar, that you smoke, and that you drink alcohol, and that you had a car crash, or, you know, your previous dentist was a bad dentist. That's not our fault. And we shouldn't contribute to the problem any further by doing patchwork dentistry. Or I like the terminology. I coined the sentence a while back. I call it favela dentistry. A favela is the shanty towns of Brazil. They're absolutely beautiful from a distance, but when you go up, I mean, it's a bit chaotic. So we really need to be very, very cautious. And if dentists listening to this, please pay attention, because if you really want to be successful in the future, you've got to get out of mechanical patchwork dentistry and go into the healthcare business. That is the future, without a doubt. And I'm very fortunate to have had, you know, the understanding of the impact of healthcare, dentistry and general healthcare early on in my career. I'm talking 2005, 2006. I was already working with nutritionists. I was working with orthopedic surgeons. I was working with plastic surgeons. I was working with sports medicine to help athletes eliminate sports injuries. And, you know, started creating a really solid team around me of dentists from, you know, different areas that could help really heal people with complex issues. Now, how do we do it? So I'll give you the answer right now of how we do it. So if a patient comes in with a multitude of problems, you break it down into three segments. You've got your biological problems, you've got your mechanical problems or functional problems, and then you have your aesthetical problems. And you should literally separate these into three different entities. And every single patient will have one or all of these three issues. And hopefully, you know, the good ones will have none of these issues. So a person with none of these issues is the patient I described as the benchmark in the initial of this podcast, which is all the teeth in the mouth, never had any dental treatment, everything is fantastic. The teeth are all working perfectly. There's no infection. There's no gums. There's no impacted wisdom teeth. Everything is healthy. The height of the teeth is perfect. That's the benchmark. And quite frankly, with dedicated care, you could get most of your patients to that level of biology and mechanics, no matter where they're coming from. And that's the beauty of advanced dentistry. So if you compartmentalize each problem into your biological problems, your mechanical problems, and your aesthetic problems, you should always start with the biology first, because without biology, you're just not going to have the foundations for success and longevity in your treatment protocol. And then you should focus on the functional issues, and last but not least, the aesthetical issues. And that's how a doctor should think. So whenever you're looking at an x-ray, you should break this down, you know, where to start. What happens is that when a patient comes to the dentist, let's say most patients are now millennials, late millennials, or, you know, Generation X and baby boomers, they will most probably want something aesthetical. They'll want, you know, they'll have a problem that, I don't like the way this looks, because, you know, self-esteem in the beauty industry is a multi-trillion dollar business around the globe. And it's fair. People want to look nice. I understand that. So I usually say that what patients want is aesthetics first, mechanics second, and they don't really care about the biology. So let me just bust a little myth right now. First and foremost, most problems in the oral cavity, such as infections and cysts and gingivitis and all of those things don't cause any pain. Yes, that's true. Most problems in the oral cavity don't cause any pain. Most of the cancers when they start in the oral cavity don't cause any pain. Most of the chronic infection in the bone don't cause any pain. People can have cysts the size of a quail egg in their jawbone without ever having a symptom. And if you don't take a CT scan or a full arch panoramic x-ray, there's no way that your healthcare provider will ever know it's there because, you know, you're not a doctor. You're just a dentist, right? So if you think about the most advanced checkup in a hospital nowadays, they still don't look at the mouth. They'll check your heart. They'll check your lungs. They'll check your spleen. They'll check your bladder, your pancreas, your uterus. They'll do a mammography if you're a woman. They'll probe you, they'll do blood tests, they'll do a brain scan, but they won't check your mouth. Why? Why? Most of the health issues begin in the mouth. So when you come to the dental clinic, and when I hear dentists complain that their business is suffering and, oh, business is not, and you start looking at their business model and they're seeing 30 patients a day doing single transaction dentistry, doing exactly what the patient wants and not what they need. You know, how do you ever create a relationship of trust? How do you ever heal that person? And there's no wonder why patients leave doctors like that when they realize that things are not going well and seek dentists like me or, you know, there's a lot of people that do what we do around the world, thank God. You know, they start going to the next level. So why not change now? Why not change your business practice now? And if you're the patient and you have health issues and you think that maybe your dentist has never spoken to you this way, you might want to go get a comprehensive full arch checkup with an advanced dentist in your neighborhood. Now, so we've broken it down to your mechanical, your biological issues, your mechanical issues, and your aesthetical issues. So the way that we do it at the clinic is we always start with a comprehensive CT, CBCT. That stands for cone beam computerized tomography, like a CT scan. It's an expensive technology. Not every clinic has to have it in their clinic. These things can cost anywhere between $150,000 and $200,000. And they're very, the recent ones are very low grade radiation. So, I mean, almost less than a flight from New York to LA. And what these machines do, they do a 3D rendering of the skull. And it's like a 3D x-ray. And instantly you can see all the problems in the mouth. So the patient doesn't even have to explain to you their dental history or their past. It's just, it's right there. It's done. And these are the great advantages of digital dentistry and why I've been using this technology on all my patients since 2008, when probably only 1% of dental clinics in the world were using this technology. When my patients sit in the chair, I don't ask what brings you here because I've already seen the CT scan and I don't start asking questions. I start immediately giving solutions. It's a lot different. And that's why, you know, if your dentist drives a $300,000 car and doesn't have this technology in his clinic, he's probably making the wrong choices for his future and his business. So we're going to address all of the biological problems. So let's see where all the cysts are, where let's see all the inflammation is, let's see all where the infections are, where the bad root canals are, impacted teeth are, and we come up with a plan for that. And you add it up. If it's a few problems, the price will be lower. If it's a lot of problems, the price will be higher. And that is the first plan you give to your patient. And they're like, oh, but I want veneers. I'm like, dude, if you can't fix this first, you ain't getting veneers. How many dentists out there think that way? Because they're in the beauty industry, they are not in the healthcare industry. And quite frankly, I am in the beauty industry too. I love a good set of veneers. Go on my Instagram. You can see my before and after photographs. We've been doing it for 20 years. Minimal invasive contact lens veneers. We know how to do that. But you only get that at the end of the treatment. Much like the decoration of an apartment. You know, if you're redoing an apartment, you know, let's say a 50-year-old apartment, you've got to do the plumbing, you've got to do the construction, you've got to get the electricity, the wiring, you've got to do the plaster, and only then do you get to choose the color of the walls and decorate the apartment. You know, most people want to start with the decoration. That's ridiculous. That's the easy part. The hard part is making sure that the foundations are solid. Same thing in dentistry. Same thing as any healthcare provider. It happens in every hospital from, you know, anywhere in the world. Your healthcare provider, your surgeon, they'll check your blood results. They'll take a chest x-ray. They'll take an electrocardiogram before they do any intervention on you, but not in dentistry. How are we going to break into healthcare if we are not thinking healthcare? All right? So it's legitimate that you do cosmetic dentistry, but quite frankly, you've got to be a healthcare provider first. Remember, do no harm. So we give that quote to the patient, and if they say, oh, I can't afford that, then how are they going to afford replacing the missing teeth, the orthodontics, and then the aesthetics? Now, do you really want to treat a patient that can't afford even the basic care? Is that your responsibility, or is that the government's responsibility? Isn't that social services' responsibility? That's not your responsibility. You pay tax for a reason, or if you're in the US, I know you have, everything's private. You know, I live in Portugal. Everything, all dentistry is private. But I'm not going to take on a problem of that magnitude, you know, no matter how nice the person is, or either, you know, we put that on our pro bono program and we do it for free. If you want to help the people, I mean, I'm all for that. Doing some charity dentistry every now and again, we definitely do that here at the clinic, you know, but unfortunately, it's a small business and you can't help everybody. So you don't owe your patients anything except for quality and ethics and doing the right thing. A heart surgeon wouldn't do it, an ophthalmologist wouldn't do it, and an orthopedic surgeon wouldn't do it. So why are dentists doing this and then complaining down the line that their business isn't successful, or that they're not motivated, they don't see the light at the end of the tunnel? And I just think that we've got to start standing up for ourselves and start saying, no, look, I'm not going to do the aesthetics if you don't fix the biology. Ah, but I'll do it later. No. I started saying no in 2006, and I created the no half smiles. So the first sentence, no half smiles, because everybody wants a nice smile, and I'm not going to do half a job. I'm not going to do one eye and not do the other eye. I'm not going to do one valve on the heart, not treat the whole heart. I'm not going to only treat part of your broken bone. I'm going to treat all of the broken bones, et cetera, et cetera. So it has to be the same with the oral cavity. And I just wanted to make sure that, you know, people understood, not just the dentist, that this is, if you're a dentist, this is a great practice builder. It takes you into the healthcare industry. You might not treat as many patients, but the ones you do, you'll do exponentially more treatments. And if you're seeing 20, 30 patients a day, A, you're overstressed, you're overworked, you don't have time to process things properly. You're definitely not creating a relationship with your patients. You know, you're not thinking clearly. You don't have time to converse with them. And if you're doing this, you know, immediate transaction dentistry, okay, maybe you're making good money. I don't know. You know, you don't want to mess with the financial status quo of things, but that's not dentistry. If you're just doing what your patient asks you to do, then, and not giving them, you know, a medical grade diagnostics of their entire oral situation, then I don't see how that's helping them. So the concept of no half smiles is, you know, you do a treatment plan that is first the biology. So I explained that biological treatment. And then you go into the mechanics. So the mechanics would be, do they need orthodontics? Do they need to straighten their teeth a little bit? Do you want to correct the position of these teeth a little bit? And if they need implants because they have missing teeth, then you're going to plan those implants not before the orthodontics, but towards the end of the orthodontics, because implants don't move with orthodontic movement. So you need to get those teeth in the final position before you go in and place your implants. And then the very last thing to do in one of these big cases would be then the prosthodontics, which are the crowns or the veneers or the replacement of the function of the teeth. And then you can choose whatever color you want. You can choose whatever size you want. Doesn't really matter. That part's the easiest part. And there's a lot of cool softwares and technologies out there that allow you to even test drive the smile before you finish. So if a patient has a really messed up mouth, I mean, it's not your responsibility. You didn't leave that. You didn't create that problem. You're part of the solution. And if you just do that partial dentistry, you'll be perpetuating the myth that dentists cannot help people. You'll be perpetuating the myth that we're not in the healthcare industry. And you definitely won't be servicing your patient. You won't be helping them. And I don't want to be identified as a dentist like that. So what kind of a dentist am I, or all of the colleagues around the world that I know that think like me, these integrative dentists that think, you know, the entire scope of action, even if that means turning away 80% of the patients that come to the clinic? Because people say, oh yeah, but that means that then, you know, they'll go to the competition. Fine. I mean, unless you have 100 clinics that you have to feed, and then your business becomes a finance business and not a healthcare business. And I'm not even going into that business model, because, you know, there's a lot of good, you know, there's a lot of network clinics or corporate dentist clinics that service a lot of communities and a lot of families and the underprivileged, and they're very, very necessary. But let's be very frank. If you're doing that single tooth dentistry for a quick lower fee and doing what the patient wants when they have, you know, if they have multiple problems, imagine if a patient has 28 problems, a problem in every tooth, and you only treat that one tooth, that's not helping the patient. It's, you know, it's something else. So what, maybe, you know, if anybody wants to come, what is that? What would you call that kind of dentistry? Because that's not what I think dentistry is. And I've definitely got a lot of key opinion leaders that agree with me that that is not dentistry. And I would appreciate if the public stopped calling that dentistry. It's something different. So maybe we have to come up with a different name for that. Because I'm very focused on, as the title of my podcast is bringing dentistry into healthcare, biting into healthcare. That's the whole name of the podcast, you know. So we can't do that if we're just doing that kind of thinking this way. So if you own your own practice and you are a dentist and you're, you know, you have partners or investors and you say, I want to do that, I really want to make the jump, then do it. But, you know, beware that you won't be able to treat everybody. And unfortunately, you know, people that can't afford all of the treatment that they require should have probably made better life choices, should have brushed their teeth. I mean, we've been telling people to brush their teeth for over 100 years on all forms of media. We've got TV advertisements going back 60, 70 years. We've got public school announcements. I mean, come on. Brush your teeth and go to bed. Brush your teeth and go to bed. We've been saying this forever. And if people didn't, you know, pay attention to that, it's the same way, like, you know, I don't know, it's a horrible thing, but we've got to be factual here. If a person's got lung issues and smokes 2 packs a day and is scared of catching COVID right now, stop smoking. You know, it's like, come on. I don't see them. I see them banning going to a public park and going to a supermarket, but you don't see them banning tobacco or alcohol, for that matter. You know, things that definitely do decrease your immune system. But I don't want to get into that right now. I just do think that, you know, patients have to have some responsibility for the situation that they're in. And it's definitely not our responsibility to take on those problems. Our responsibility is to fix those problems. Imagine if you were a builder and, you know, your best friend came to you and said, you know, hey, could you do my apartment? You know, I want to flip my apartment. I've just bought this thing. It's got some infiltration, it's got some, you know, sewage issues, but it's in a really good neighborhood, up and coming, and I'd like to invest perhaps, you know, $20,000, which is a lot of money, on getting the apartment up to speed, so I can then put it on the market and make some money back. Everybody knows this this industry, there's TV shows about this, and it seems pretty straightforward. So the usual steps would be to hire an architect that would come in and envision the way things would look like. They come up with a plan. That plan is paid. Architects don't work for free. They don't produce anything other than a maquette or drawings, technical drawings. And then the client would approve that. And then perhaps an interior designer would come and say, well, this is what we could make it look like at the end. And you've got your kitchen experts that come in and say, well, this is how we could do the kitchen. And then what happens is engineers come in and the builders come in and they look for the technical issues that they'll find. They'll ask for the maps. They'll ask for where they can find, you know, all the complicated issues like the building floor plans and all of that, and see if there's predict if there's any issues or going to be any complications to make sure that the construction goes smoothly. Then everybody chooses the right materials, what color, you know, what kind of flooring, what kind of toilet seats, what kind of oven, et cetera, et cetera. And then the builders come in and build it. The building part is actually quite easy. It's not the highest paid person in this equation isn't the builder. It's the architect. It's probably also the interior designer, depending on how expensive you want to spend. But why are we no longer architects of our job? Why are we just doing building? So if I tell my friend, I said, listen, don't worry. You know what are we going to do? We're just going to do it ourselves. Do you think that the value of that property will be as much as if it had been done the way I just described? Oh, but that way is way more expensive. Agreed. But it will create a lot more value. So obviously there has to be a place in society for, you know, the guys that just wing it themselves. There has to be a place in society for quick fix dentistry. I understand that. People that are in pain, that have abscesses, that have infections, that have a broken tooth, have, you know, had a car crash. We have to service those people. I understand that. I really do. But we cannot continue masking dentistry or call it, you know, having these dental practices that face value, their marketing, their websites, their you go on the website, you read it, it looks just like mine. But then when you go into these practices, that's not what they're doing. What they're doing is they're chasing cash. Quick fix dentistry. Oh, you just want to do your front tooth, but you have a massive abscess around your root canal, but it doesn't hurt. So you don't want to do that now. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'll do it. Yeah, sure. How much? Yeah, fine. And then they go home and you wonder why dentists are so stressed all the time. I think it's also because they know that they're not really helping their patients. So of course there's exceptions to all of the rules and there's a lot of good people out there. I don't think any dentist finishes their career wanting to just become a businessman, or, you know, these things happen slowly and gradually, or they go and work in a clinic and their boss is a businessman and is not a dentist, and they've got very strict guidelines, and they're given 30 minutes to do a treatment, and if they don't meet that quota, then they get kicked out of the practice, and they've got student debt and student loans, and they've got a pregnant wife, and they've got bills to pay, and that money's right there. It's a tough thing. I my heart goes out to those people that have to make those really screwed up decisions, you know. But we've got to be the change. It has to stop. We have to stop thinking about quick fixes. We got to stop just doing what our patients want, you know. So no half smiles, no half dentistry, no half treatment plans. So the concessions that I allow when I give my lectures, what is the concession that I allow? I say, listen, you know, you've got a good person in front of you. They're part of your community. You know them. You trust them. They're a good person and they really need your help. And they need you to fix that front tooth because they've got that wedding tomorrow. They've got that fashion shoot. They've got a job interview. They're trying to improve their life, you know, but they've got 10 other problems in their mouth that do need urgent care, but they can be done at a later date. And you've done your biological treatment plan, in quote. You've done your functional treatment plan, in quote. You've done your aesthetic treatment plan, in quote. And quite frankly, my patients, and I've been saying this for over 15 years now, because it took me the first 6 to figure this out, is, look, if you can do the biological part, I'll be happy. And I don't care if you have a denture. So many dentists are focused on placing implants, and I'm an implant surgeon. I lecture at the best symposiums in the world on implant dentistry and have done for many, many years. And I love placing implants, but quite frankly, a denture can do the job. It's not the ideal solution, but if you have a limited budget, spend it on the biological. Spend it on cleaning up the infection from your mouth and have a denture rather than going for aesthetics and function with implants and leaving, you know, toxic dentistry in your mouth. That should be the mindset. But getting back on point, which is, as long as you've given the patient all of the information, if you've given them the architectural plan, the engineering plan, you've discussed the materials and what it would look like to execute, then, you know, they're going to make a valid consent. Come up with an agreement, come up with a document that the patient signs by saying, I was properly explained the risks of only doing partial dentistry. I take full responsibility that if things go wrong, that I will not bring this to my dentist. And I understand that there's no guarantee on this job because I am missing several teeth and I have lots of infections. And if I have any further problems in my mouth, that I cannot sue or complain or criticize negatively this practitioner because he warned me that there were risks of not doing the entire care. And what you're doing with that is you're passing the entirety of the problem to the patient. So we don't do it often, but some cases when we have to do it for the aforementioned reasons, you know, people we know and we trust and they're part of our community and we want to help them, there's definitely that document. Why? I don't want to take the risk. I'll tell you, this is a true story about 2005, I was treating a very famous person in my country, a very powerful person. And he came to my clinic and I was doing, this is 2004-05 before I came up with the philosophy. It was actually one of the things that triggered the concept. So he came in and he said, I have a little hole in my tooth, a filling fell out. Could you please fix it? You know, and he, of course, I was very impressed with his power and his influence. And I did exactly as he told me. I was a good boy. I did exactly what he told me. And as a good dentist, and I've been working with digital x-rays since 1999, I took a little x-ray of the area. And immediately I saw that the tooth behind had a little cyst behind an old root canal that was had not been done by me, had been done by his previous dentist. And I said to him, I said, listen, sir, the tooth behind the filling I've just done for you has a little cyst. And with time, that could flare up and create some problems and pain for you. And we should definitely look into that, perhaps an extraction and an implant at a later date. And he's like, yeah, whatever. I'm not interested in that, dude. Stop trying to sell me stuff. It doesn't hurt. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. And you see what he said? It doesn't hurt. It's been there for 20 years. It's fine. Since I'm a young, new dentist, I didn't push it. I felt insecure to push it. And I let it go. And I did a great filling. So the thing he asked me to do, I did a little composite filling. It looked great, felt great. He felt fantastic. He paid for that treatment and left. I tried to book him to come in again to check that back tooth. But he said, no, speak to my assistant, whatever. And the assistant never picked up the phone. So I really did try. Then about 6 months later, there was this social event and he'd invited a bunch of people to come to this. And he was very gracious and invited me. It was a black tie event to this very big dinner with about 80 people at the table. And, you know, he's the big figure of this table. And, you know, he stands up to give a speech and he's talking. He goes, ah, blah, blah, blah. And then he was just finishing chewing something. And he goes, he must have bit on the back tooth. And he goes, ow, complaining of toothache. Now, he goes, Stanley, you're a terrible dentist because that tooth you fixed is now hurting me. He said it jokingly, but I was a young, maybe 28-year-old dentist at the time. And there were 80 figureheads and prominent industry leaders and powerful people from my community. Probably till today, none of them have ever been my patients. They've never come to me. Because even if he didn't understand that, obviously the pain he was feeling was of the tooth that I had warned him of, not of the tooth that I treated. But because it was adjacent to the tooth that I treated, his brain couldn't tell the difference. He believed it was the tooth that I treated. He's still my patient today. We laugh about the story now. But there will never be a second chance to repair that public shame that I suffered. And so I lost 79 patients their families' families, and that is why No Half Smiles is an incredible practice builder. Because at the end of the day, if you're doing comprehensive full mouth therapy from a biological, functional, and cosmetic perspective, where the cosmetic is arbitrary, you know, you can leave that up to the patient. Cosmetics for me isn't a Hollywood bleached perfect smile. It's just the absence of, you know, of an emotional connection, a negative emotional connection to your smile. So if the patient thinks that their smile is great and they have brown teeth, that for me is perfect. Beauty is very subjective. So if you've done those things, then you know you've really done a good job by your patients. And if you can't do it for whatever reason, make sure they sign a contract and that you spend time with them, that they understand this. And to have that time, you have to practice slow dentistry, which means you can't see a lot of patients. And I'll talk about slow dentistry in another podcast. And if you're curious about it, you can visit slowdentistry.com. It's a nonprofit organization based in Switzerland that basically says see fewer patients with higher safety rate measures. But yeah, so that's what I want to talk about with this, with the No Half Smiles. So I started the hashtag No Half Smiles a long while back, and a lot of dentists around the world have, behind the scenes, come and commended me on the concept. I remember the very first time I lectured on this, I believe was in Moscow in 2008. And people were like, what the hell is this guy talking about? And I've been very consistent with this message for a very, very long time. You can see a small video of this on also my YouTube channel. I made a little stop motion video for it. So if you visit miguelstanley.com, it's somewhere there on my YouTube channel. And feel free to share that with your patients or your friends. So the next time you visit your dentist and you know you have multiple problems in your mouth, remember he's going to have to make a very difficult call between making money and being a healer. Help them make the right decision, all right? Help your dentist make the right decision. Obviously, if you can't afford it, you can't afford it. But, you know, at least understand that, you know, his or hers, you know, the dentist's main objective is to heal you, and try and understand your dentist's motives. You know, why are they doing what they're doing? And if they're seeing 30 patients a day, ask them, you know, how do you feel about this? You know, what about comprehensive healthcare dentistry, integrative functional dentistry? So there's definitely a clear separation between dentists that practice, they might not call it No Half Smiles, but that practice this functional integrative approach, focusing on full biology, full mechanics, and full function, and full, of course, full aesthetics, which is what everybody wants. And just to finish, when any patient comes to me with problems in their mouths, and of course, I've seen that CT scan, and so any patient that comes with a full array of problems, and you can see that they've been to dentists in the past. And they've been to a lot of dentists. You can see by the patchwork of single unit dentistry across their entire mouths. And remember, I've seen that CT scan, so I know exactly what they need. That means that now I'm going to engage in an emotional conversation that will then be translated into a logical information, a logical explanation, and then a financial explanation, which is what a first consultation is all about. We have to be very open about that. As I say, so what brings you here today? And as they're about to open their mouths, I say, wait. And I do this for dramatic effect. I say, let me guess. And imagine the patient is missing teeth and has some crooked teeth and has some infections. And so obviously, this patient has had difficulty chewing and smiling, and there's self-esteem issues, and you know there's some health issues, and they know that. Otherwise, they wouldn't have come to me in my practice, because I know that that's what we're here to solve, you know, because they've done their homework. So as I say, okay, so what brings you here? And as they're about to talk, I say, wait, let me guess. And I pretend I'm like doing a David Copperfield mind trick. I said, you want all of your top teeth, all of your bottom teeth. You want them, you know, solid, strong teeth. You want healthy bones, healthy gums. You want to have all your teeth in your mouth, white, not too white, not the artificial. You want to have nice pink gums. You want to be able to chew anything any kind of food without things getting stuck in between your teeth. You want to be able to travel anywhere in the world without worrying if something's going to go wrong. You want to be able to choose any kind of food on the menu. You want to be able to smile at any angle and have a beautiful, healthy smile. You don't want to have any metal in your mouth. You want to have a fresh breath. You want to be able to chew, have a balanced bite. And you want to achieve this result with the least amount of visits to the dentist. You want to have it as fast as possible. You want the treatment to last the rest of your life without anything going wrong, and you don't want to pay a fortune for it. And you see their faces go, oh my God, doctor, you got it exactly right. How did you know this? And the answer is very simple. You're a human being. Everybody wants two legs. Everybody wants two arms. Everybody wants 10 fingers. Everybody wants two eyes. Everybody wants a working heart. Everybody wants a functional, healthy, beautiful smile. So dentists, stop not giving them that. Patients, stop asking for anything other than that. Take care of your oral health. Brush your teeth. Teach your children to brush their teeth. Stop smoking. Stop drinking. Toothbrush and toothpaste and dental floss are cheap and affordable. And give your dentist a chance to heal you, not just fix patchwork teeth dentistry at a time. And I really hope this message could inspire even one person to change, be it a patient or be it a dentist. And you can, you know, feel free to use the hashtag Slow Dentistry. It is a registered trademark, so don't go using it to open a clinic. But feel free to share the hashtag, and I'll give you a shout out on social media. If you've done a No Half Smiles treatment plan, show that on social media. I'll be happy to give you a shout out. All right, guys, stay safe out there. Stay positive, and keep up the good fight, and take care of your health. Think positive thoughts. The world's in a tough place right now, but I'm certain that in due course, things will get better and things will be back to normal, hopefully as soon as possible. Thank you for your time. I'll be coming up with a new podcast sooner than later. Thank you.